something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message Responsibility of Prayer.
Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Can I use your Bible? Thank you. Yeah, this is a nice one. Yep. All right. 1 John chapter 5, and I'm reading to you from verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He didn't say he will do it. Oh. Loren the ghost goes to the man that the eagle sauce to the hot ghost. Half owns on the eagle start. Hallelujah. Are you there? The word of God is light. The word, listen to this. You know what I think? You are wonderful. I'm telling you. Your faith is alive. You see, the Bible tells us how that Paul perceived that a certain man at the city of Lystra had faith. You can perceive faith. You don't know how you are pulling out all these things. You're taking them out. Hallelujah. No, anytime I come out here, you're just you're taking it out voraciously. Come on, my God. Hallelujah. So I want to show you this. Here's what a lot of folks have missed in their prayer. Now, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in his name, the name of Jesus, he said, it will be done. Whatever will be done. He never said anything about God's will. You remember? Yes. Now, here, the first time we get introduced into the subject of asking, the will of God as something that's a factor. But what we don't see there, except by our spiritual eyes, is that he's not trying to tell us that whatever we're asking must be consistent with his will. That's not what he's talking about. Otherwise, that's another way of bringing a new clause into what Jesus already said. You're changing what Jesus already said. Jesus said, whatever you ask will be done. Whatever you ask, and he used the Greek word ginomai, meaning it will be made for you, even if it does not exist. You see that? So, to come over here now And here John telling us that when we ask, it's got to be something that's within the framework of God's will. We'll be introducing a new clause into what Jesus said. You're changing what Jesus said. He didn't say it's got to be according to his will. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say we must find out if it is consistent with his will before we get it. He didn't say that. You're changing it. And John's going to say, I didn't change it. That's not what I said. Oh, that's not what you said, John? What did you say? I want to show you. Hallelujah. Let's look at it again. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Let's look at the next one. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Oh, look, he separated them. Look at it. The doing of it and the hearing of it are two different things. So what is the man saying? He's saying the same thing that James said. When James said, does anybody lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Then he said, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea. He says, let not that man think he shall get anything from God. As far as James is concerned, you don't get what you want because you're not asking in faith. So he says, let that man ask in faith without doubting. Says, because if you doubt, don't think you're going to get anything. And that's consistent with what Jesus said. Now, so what's John saying? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that means the way you ask is what he's talking about, not what you ask about. Because he's talking about the hearing that we get. It's the way you ask. Ask according to his will. That means ask in faith. That means ask in the name of Jesus. That's what he's talking about. That's all. Then he says, if we ask in faith and in the name of Jesus, he hears us. Because he hears whatever we say in the name of Jesus. Then he says, if we know that we are heard, then we have the confidence that our petitions are granted us. We never need to be afraid that what we might be asking about is not consistent with God's will. Why? Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, he didn't say ye shall ask what I will. He said ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You see the subject of the will of God? Religious people say, when you were asking, were you sure it was God's will? Maybe that's why God didn't do it. Mm-mm. God's not saying my will. He's not saying, ask my will. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. That's St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7. You can see it for yourself. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. He didn't say, ye shall ask what I will. He said, ye shall ask what ye will. Now, what if we ask something that's not in his will? Well, that's why he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Because if ye abide in Jesus and his words abide in you, that means your will sinks in his will. You don't have a care in the world about, is it God's will? No problem. No problem. Because he abides, his word abides in you. And you abide in him. So there's a oneness. Hello. Is that too big for your theology? Is it too big? Can you think like, hey, come on. That's why a lot of people are confused in their lives. Don't know whether or not to ask for something. Maybe it's too big for me. Maybe I shouldn't ask. Maybe I'm being greedy for asking. Well, if you have a problem about His word abiding in you, that's a separate thing. So go get the word in you. Hallelujah. You get it? All right. Now remember where we started from. Thank you very much. Thank you. Remember where we started from. Thank you. That Herod was angry. He began to harass the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He killed him. And God didn't do anything about it except to welcome James into heaven. And Jesus didn't respond.
Power of God, like a flash.
The power of the Holy Ghost.
Through every nation.
Thank you, Lord. It's for every nation.
Every city.
You are here.
And in that moment.
Wherever you are right now.
Anyone.
Receive your
healing. Can be healed.
While you were ministering, all four of them came back to life.
Keep God praise.
It's another beautiful edition of the Healing Streams Life Healing Services with the man of God, Pastor Chris. A global outpouring of God's healing power for the miraculous to heal the sick and transform lives in every nation. The Bible declares in Jeremiah 30 verse 17, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." Through the Healing Streams Life Healing Services, countless lives from every nation are witnessing the fulfillment of this promise. The blind sees, the lame walks, cancers disappear, long-standing conditions are healed instantly, all by the power in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus sent me to take healing to the nations. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I say to you, I bring you healing. I was sent to bring it to you. And I bring it to you. Doesn't matter where you are, you can be healed. Doesn't matter what the pain is, what the infirmity is. What matters is Jesus loves you and He wants you well.
Just as in the days of Jesus, Hebrews 13 verse 8 reminds us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His healing power is still at work today, and it's available to heal you right where you are. Broadcasting live on major terrestrial radio stations and networks worldwide. Date, Friday 18th to Sunday, July 20th, 2025. Time, 2 p.m., GMT plus 1, daily. Join life at www.loveworldradio.fm or www.ctunes.org. Download the mobile app from the Love World App Store, Google Play Store, or Apple App Store. You can also sponsor the broadcast on radio stations and networks around the world. For sponsorship or participation, please email info@loveworldradiantatworks.org. God bless you.
This is the continuation of the message responsibility of prayer.
Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews. You know, the Jews were accusing them. These guys have turned the world upside down. These crazy fellows. Talking about one dead Jesus, you know. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Did you see that? He saw that it pleased the Jews that he killed James. They said, yes, those people, they should die. So, he went further to take Peter also. After all, the Jews were happy. God didn't do anything. Jesus didn't do anything. So what? Come on, let's go. And at this time, the brethren were, James, Apostle James, why didn't he refuse, reject? Why didn't he cancel? Why didn't he confess? Why? Confession brings possession. They're wondering why? Then they heard about verse 4. Let's read it. And when he had arrested him, he arrested Peter. He put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. 4 quadrants of soldiers, meaning 4 soldiers in a group, and there were 4 groups. That's 16 soldiers, so they could have different shifts. After these 4 have watched for a certain number of hours, the other 4 would take over, and so on. And he kept him there and said, you bring him out at Easter time. That's the Passover time, you know. He'll bring him out and then kill him. So from hearing, why didn't James disappear? The prophets used to disappear. Elijah used to disappear. Why didn't James just disappear? Some said, well, Jesus used to sleep through the crowd. Why didn't James just do something like that? And they were all talking. Then somebody ran in and said, Peter has been arrested. Hey! This is getting too much. Why does it have to take the death of somebody for us to learn a lesson? Why can't we just learn without paying such a price? Let's look. And when, verse 4, and when he had arrested him, apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But that's the but that changed everything. He says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made. The church prayed. This was what they didn't do when James was taken. They could have had James. They didn't do this. When Peter was taken, and they said, not again, not again, not again. We're going to pray until something happens. Not again. They prayed. The Bible says prayer was made without ceasing. If Herod could set soldiers to watch without ceasing, to make sure the guy didn't escape, they said, we are going to pray without ceasing. As long as Herod has him, we are going to be praying. I said, this is what they didn't do when James was taken. Whew. You can read the rest of the story. The Bible tells us when Herod was ready to take him, the night before, an angel of God came into the prison. And the chains with which they bound him fell down. The angel said to Peter, get up and let's get out of here. And he didn't go and hide him. He said, go. And I walked through the streets and got to one of the houses where the disciples were and found them still praying. They were still praying. Hallelujah. They were still praying. When your family faces a challenge, when your family is being attacked, what do you do? You sit down there crying? I don't understand all these things. After all, we've been serving God. After all, we pay our tithes. After all, we've been sowing seed. What's happening now? What's happening? You are not ready yet. Because after James is taken, they'll go for Peter. No, you think your son had a problem and that's all. They're coming for you. So it's not, that's not, the devil doesn't stop. And he's got all his little demons rejoicing that they did something. And they say, well, do another one. So what are you going to do about it? In your family, you got four brothers. All four brothers just lost their jobs. You are keeping quiet. What are you waiting for? Wait till they take Peter in the house. Because they're going to take Peter. They've taken the James of your finances. You've done nothing. Wait until they take the Peter of your account. Because these are teachings and symbolisms. You've got to understand what God is telling you. Satan doesn't just stop. We have to pray. It says, but prayer was made. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. You can pray. There are people who are suffering even beyond our country. We'll talk about those that suffer injustice. The people who are dying every day for nothing. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for a stop. So, all over the world, as the Spirit of God stirs up something in your mind, those who are suffering injustice, pray for them.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me, and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.